The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back live in the studio, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. Welcome to tonight's show, this last Monday in September.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, a beautiful, well, kind of a weird day out there, but...
Is it raining?
No, but it's threatening, and now they're calling for rain for tomorrow for most of the day.
We need it,
so
right?
We kind of do need it.
Yeah.
So, well, I just want to thank our listeners, as I always do, for joining us, and for hopefully listening to some down-to-earth practical advice for gardens, plants, and all things landscaping. So I plan to talk a little bit about fall, some fall tips and such tonight, a little bit later in the show. I'm also hope that everyone enjoyed last week's show with Jason Vatese from Best Way Stone. If not, that show will be up soon on my website. And have a listen. I think it was great to talk to Jason.
Good show.
Yeah.
It was a lot of good information.
Yeah, it was really good. And a lot of to understand how the bricks are made and the differences between companies a little bit and how important the base is and all that engineering that goes into it. You know, I think people oversimplify, you know, that you just dig down and throw down some gravel and lay down the bricks. You know, it's a lot more into that. So little did you know that was a pre-recorded show that Jason and I did.
It didn't sound it.
Well, I hope it didn't. As I was away on a nice little anniversary trip to the Mediterranean. So I spent some time in some hot weather in Italy and a bit cooler weather in France. Not that I was complaining at all.
Now, was that your first time to Italy and France?
Yes, first time to... I'd been to Paris in grade 11 as a student.
Okay.
But that was my only time to Europe.
Do you speak French or Italian?
No. Ciao. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Andiamo, prego. I learned a few things.
Yeah. But was it okay? Were you able to communicate okay?
Yes. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
My husband can speak Canadian French pretty well. So from high school.
Oh, really?
He took 5 years of high school French and has used it a little bit with work. So he was able to communicate. In fact, a couple of times a little too well because he spoke French back to them, they spoke French right back to him, like fast, right?
Really?
Like they weren't, it wasn't like they then broke into, like they went,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a Canadian trying to speak French. They just, and I was like,
it's amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he spoke it really smooth and well. And
pretty much, yeah. I mean, he'd hesitate every now and again and rehearsed and stuff. And he tried, he had all the goals to learn the Italian with the Rosetta Stone before we left.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he didn't get too far on that. But he did get, you know, he could order us wine.
Oh,
we could order
vino.
Pizza. Vino.
Yeah.
We were good. So,
very nice.
And we did it by cruise. So we did a cruise.
Yeah.
And I really thought that was a great way to do the Mediterranean, in that you know, you had your home base, you were unpacked, you were comfortable, and then every morning you kind of woke up in a new port, and we had a tour at each port, and then could, you know, finish the tour and explore the rest of the city, and then get back on ship for your, you know, nice tidy room and a nice dinner and enjoy some entertainment. Some really good musicians on board. They were kind of eclectic. They went with like kind of small, you know, they always have that theater like show production numbers and stuff that they do before dinner. But this time they had these collection of little artists, and they had them performing in different areas of the ship, and they kind of rotated them. So we really enjoyed that. There was a young couple just started their contract on the ship, so they committed for 6 months from Montreal. So she was still singing with, you could still pick up her French accent, but they were young, green, but
what,
they were really good.
What was the cruise line?
A Celebrity.
Celebrity, okay.
Yeah. And so that was so she was a vocalist and he was a guitar player. So that was one group. And then there was a solo guitarist from, I think he was originally from the Carolinas. And he's been out there for 2 years and just extended another. Yeah. And so he does
him.
Solo guitar and then harmonica. So then he switched. He was just in the last, I think he was telling my husband, two cruises ago, there was another musician that played the harmonica and convinced him to try it out.
Very
and,
nice.
And stuff. So we picked up his CD and we really made an effort to, his name was Gordon, and we really made an effort to go, and he did some, he covered a lot of singers. And eclectic, like from the Bee Gees to Bob Dylan to Bob Marley, but really put his own spin on it was quite good. And we really, really enjoyed it. So it was nice. It was nice. You know, we weren't too into the Broadway show kind of big theater thing. But
well, now here's the next question, because I've been on cruises. How much weight did you gain?
Yes.
Great food, huh?
Well, great food. They said normally it's 1 pound a day that you're on the ship.
Yeah.
But because I think we walked so much on our port stops, that luckily I didn't gain that whole 10 pounds. But
you had fun.
But it was worth it for sure. Yeah. And it was really nice to see so much of the world, and really got a new, just to relate it back to gardens, I think... wow, we're so lucky in Canada, especially just how much space we have. Even in our cities, I think we have more space than they, you know, they really have. And even people on these apartment buildings, no matter where we went, they squished all these plants. You know, plants were really important to them. You could tell. Whether it was just ornamental or whether that, like, because of the lime trees and the olive trees and the lemon trees were everywhere, you know, it was definitely really important to their economy. And, you know, even with the history there, that it was like the Romans, ancient Romans, that decided, because of all the hills, that came up with the terracing idea, to terrace the hills in order to plant, much make better use of planting on the slopes for the lemon trees and the olive trees. So that was really fascinating, just the history for sure.
Did you tell anyone, you know, that you met or talked to, what you do for a living, and you had a radio show and all this other stuff? Did you
not
tell them?
So much about radio show, but yes, about what I was doing.
Oh, you should have. I could have been listening.
I know. Well, I've got a few contact information, and funny, because we had regular seating. You know how you can have kind of any dine anytime, or you have committed seating?
Yeah.
Well, we had committed seating, and the two sisters that were sitting beside us every night on for dinner on the ship, the one sister was from Florida, and her husband run a landscape design build company in Florida. So that was really
what a coincidence.
And you would believe it, the other lady, her husband used to own a UPS store, and that's one of my other part-time gigs. So
is that true?
Yeah, absolutely true. Isn't that freaky? It was just weird how that turned out. Both Jan and Deb were wonderful. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. So it was really interesting to, you know, someone who's in Florida has, you know, a much different zone, and they can plant for a longer time, but still same similar issues. And
no lack of conversation there.
No, for sure.
We had
lots to talk
my
about.
My luck, I always get, you know, you sit at a table with someone, nice people, But what do you do for? I'm a tuna fish, fisherman. Oh,
yeah.
What are you? I'm a musician. Oh, okay. Next, it's like, what do you talk about?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we were really, really impressed by the music, Gary, and I think you would have been too. It was definitely nice just to sit back and listen to some good music.
Good deal.
Because those nights can get pretty long, right? Like after dinner, it's like, okay, now what do you do? It's not like you can go anywhere. That is one thing about the ship, right? Although the ship is big and there's always lots to do.
But
it's not like wandering around the city. You're now back on the ship.
And your stateroom was real nice.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very spacious. It's amazing. They make so much good use of the space.
And the toilets with that suction. You got to watch that. You had to cover that, eh?
Yeah. So,
And
amazing how the staff, everybody, it was really good.
Very nice.
The great level of service. And we had a really great captain who was hilarious. Greek captain.
Guy?
Yeah. Very funny. So,
Older guy, or would you say?
I mean, younger than me, but, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
But a really good sense of humor. Like
really? A lot of those guys are stuffy.
Oh, my gosh. No, he had a very good sense of humor. It started right from the, you know, you have to do those muster station and do the safety videos. You know, if you've never cruised, it's like when you're on a plane, and you have to watch the video on how to put on your seatbelt and your airbag, you know, in case of crashing. Well, same thing on a ship. You have to go. We all go into designated rooms and you have to listen to a safety presentation on how to get into how to find your lifeboat and get into all those necessary things for sure. And just talk the whole show about this, but he at the end so we watched this, you know, fairly dry presentation about this video and stuff, and then it shows and a word from your captain. So then the captain comes on and it's him in person, and he goes on to say that if anything was to happen to him, you know, this second officer would take over.
Right.
And if anything was to happen to the second officer, not to worry, because a safety officer can take over. But if something should happen to take out all three of them, then we should have hoped we'd had better days.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, you know, I don't even do it justice, but he was very funny and continued to be to different performances throughout the week, the 10 days, and was definitely one of the highlights. So.
Good deal.
Yeah,
sounds like you had a blast.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm just going through. We took over like 1,600 photographs.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Whoa. I filled my phone, so I couldn't take any more photos on my phone. My husband had the big camera. He was taking lots, and then I used his iPhone, so I'm still making my way through it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we certainly can't print that many, but I do want to get some printed just to have, you know.
Well, keep them all on a DVD or a file or something, right?
For sure. So I've been just sorting them. But I did take, you know, some with landscapes, some with looking at their paving stone. That was something in my discussions with Jason during and prior to his show last week, was how Europe kind of dictates, you know, the size of stone, like how the trends kind of start in Europe and then they kind of start head to Montreal and then they kind of filter out for the rest of Canada. That just tends to be the state of things for cement and stone work. And definitely the paving stones are getting huge. Like they've definitely evolved here to be bigger than they've been in the last number of years.
Yeah.
But they've even gotten bigger there. So you still had some cobblestone streets.
Yeah.
For sure, with the little cobblestones, but some of the other stuff has been pretty big brick. So
what they're trying to do is, even though they could be larger and heavier, it's less you put down, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And hopefully it stays, you know, flatter, faster, longer. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that they can do with stone there just because they don't have winter.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have salt.
And
they don't have
freezing and
the
water.
Freezing and thawing, that type of thing. So some of the dry stacked walls and the cement stairs that are like the stone stairs that have been there for years and years and years and
never moved.
Yeah. You know, not chipped, not anything. It's just amazing. And it just shows you what the weather take, you know, our items take quite a beating because of that.
That's
weather.
True. Did the cruise start in Florida or New York City? Where did you go?
No, it started in Rome.
Okay, so you flew out of Toronto?
Yeah, we flew Toronto to Rome, spent three and a half days in Rome, and then caught the cruise
in Rome.
The port is Civitavecchia, just south of Rome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
wow.
And we went from there. So and then it did all the stops and then went back into Rome, and we flew out of Rome and flew
home.
How
was your flights back and forth? Air Canada or
no? Regretting not doing Air Canada. Air Italia, not recommended.
I know.
No,
I say Air Canada, and they're great, Air Canada. But also, what's the German airline again? I keep forgetting.
Yeah,
they're amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Would they go Toronto to Rome though?
I don't think so. They'd go into Germany, you know, but I, you know, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was a learning experience there. I don't know. I don't know if there was an issue of, we didn't want a stopover. We wanted a direct flight.
Direct flight. Yeah.
So I don't know if that was an issue of Air Canada's flights were all, you know, layovers or not, or stop, you know, a stop. So we went with Air Italia. It was direct, and yeah. That's all I'll say. Right.
At least the cappuccino was hot.
You made it home. And, yeah, that's you know, right. You can't
God bless you. You're home safe.
That's right. That's right. So yeah. So I'm really excited to share some photos on my Facebook page. It was amazing to see. I mean, the one thing is most of their plants outside are things that we have to grow inside. You know, they'd have bougainvillea hedges in parks, have bougainvillea and bougainvillea everywhere, like we would have boxwood. Or, you know, so it was just incredible to see that it was, you know, something we can barely grow as a houseplant in our climate. They have everywhere. And I know I posted a picture. Check me out on Facebook, down to earth with the number 2. In Facebook, and you'll see this one giant wall of bougainvillea, and it was just incredible.
Cool.
So I will definitely be posting some more pictures, and sharing some more about the trip. So thanks for asking, and it's good to be back. Nice temperatures, I see. We've had you had pretty good weather while I was away.
Yeah, but we could still use more water, right? Yeah. Everything is parched. You know, and don't look at my lawn.
I didn't.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, why? What was wrong with it?
No, it needs fertilizer, seeding,
it's
the whole
still,
thing.
Yeah, it's still a little early for that, so you're good. We're going to talk about a bit of that tonight. A bit about those landscaping
I need some nematodes.
Nematodes? Nematodes.
Okay, those things.
So and the fall's coming slowly. The last few years, we've had kind of an early fall. But I think they're saying our warm temperatures, and the trees aren't too stressed. Like they have, you know, as much as they do need a bit of water, they haven't really been too stressed. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had some regularly, and, you know, cold temperatures and stress are some of the factors that go into speeding up them changing their leaves and getting ready to go dormant for the fall. So, I noticed some beautiful sumac on my way here was starting to go red, but a lot of the trees are not quite turning yet. So we'll see.
I was in Kingston today.
Oh, today?
Today.
Okay.
And I just got back a little bit before you got here. And the trees, though, along the 401 are starting to turn.
Good.
They look gorgeous.
Oh, good.
You know, reds and golds and beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. And how was Kingston?
Kingston's nice. It's very lovely.
Yes.
I had to take my daughter back to.
Oh, she went back. She was here for the weekend?
For the weekend, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So, yes, my son came home for the weekend as well. We were texting him while we were away, and he's finding the weekends a little boring.
Really?
So he asked to come home, but we're in Europe. We're like, well, you can come home.
Did he vacuum the pool?
No. Well, we had to close the pool on Labor Day weekend. I know my neighbor said that beautiful Labor Day Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're the only person in Ontario closing their pool, but we were going to be away.
So
we had to shut everything down.
No, I know.
So Dylan arranged for Via and got himself
it.
Yeah, got
beautiful.
Himself to it and home and took him back yesterday to the train and... So Kingston there
and
back
Brockport?
In one day. No, that's the other one.
That's the other son.
He's in St. Lawrence College in Cornwall, so too far to do in a day.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
take
yeah.
him and come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Kingston's a long day even, right? To go
and
come back.
It's tough.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good. Yeah. So
very nice. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I thought you'd
be
doing your show in Italian.
Yeah, not
but
so
you're
much.
Not.
No.
Buongiorno.
No, that's right. Prego.
Grazie.
Well, it even took us a little while to figure out what they meant when they said prego. Like, we're
sauce.
Like, okay.
No.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, because they seem to use it for a
You're
lot
welcome.
Of different contexts. or it's more like there you go. And so whether it's a verb, there you like there you go, or whether they, you know, want you to hurry up, like.
Yeah, but you know, it's also used. It's also used in the context of when you say grazie, mean thank you. They say prego, which means you're welcome. You can use it as such. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so maybe if there's a couple meanings, then that could account for our confusion.
That's the main thing. Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, do we want to go
to a
commercial break? Yeah, and then
we'll
talk about some landscape design fall landscaping tips. How's that? Get that
That's
out.
That's great.
When we return back to Reality Radio 101. We'll see you soon.
It was a pretty big year for fashion, a lousy year for rock and roll. The people gave their message of crimes of passion. It was a dark, dark night of the collective soul. Now we're somewhere out on Riverside by the Il Royale Hotel.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Looking for a great place to go for excellent coffee and delicious treats? Come visit us at Three Steps Up Coffee House in Whitby. Our coffee is made with freshly ground free trade coffee beans that are brewed at just the right temperature for the ultimate coffee drinking experience. Try one of our mouth-watering handmade treats that allow you to enjoy a little slice of heaven. We offer hearty organic soups such as butternut squash with toasted almonds and sweet potato, carrot, and ginger. There is something for everyone, from healthy salads to gourmet sandwiches and delectable chocolate treats. Contact us to find out more about our amazing catering services. Find us at 605 Brock Street North in Whitby, Ontario. Licensed under the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Open Mondays to Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Seating for private functions and events available. Contact us by phone at 905-430-7817 or check out our website at www.threestepsup.weebly.com. Three Steps Up Coffee House. Three steps up to a perfect cup.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to the one and only Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send Joanne an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, returning from her Italian lesson, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. And welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening. I forgot to mention the Blue Jays. They continued to do well while I was away. So
you mean
that
the birds or the baseball team?
The baseball team. Yeah. I know it's not your cup of tea, but
happy. Baseball is.
Oh, it was baseball?
Baseball, yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But even though I'm a Blue Jays fan, I'm also a Yankees fan.
Yes.
So that
I would
was killing
that.
Me
That's,
when they
yes,
were
this, for sure.
they were playing their, you know, their
yes.
series here.
Oh, so you and Jason would have had a lot to talk about because
yeah,
he was totally a Jay. That's why we weren't allowed to talk about because it was a pre-record. We couldn't talk baseball, but
no.
Jason is a Yankees fan as well.
Yeah, but
so.
I'm both. So
yes,
so
that
I, you
would
know,
be tough.
So I was happy they were both there at the time.
Yeah.
But I grew up with the Yankees,
yes,
right?
For
so,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Not as but not a Mets fan.
No, not at all. No.
Because they're doing well, too.
Yeah. So. No, but I'm glad the Jays are where they are.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
So, fall, and we're in the playoffs, so this is an exciting time. Gary mentioned our phone numbers and our email address. So, if you have any questions about the state of your garden now, what to do over the next month, now is the time to ask. So, please send us an email at realityradio101@yahoo.com. I'm just going to cover a few of the basics and a few of the top things that come to mind. Some of them it's a little too soon to do, but definitely start making your to-do list and go from there. I'm not a big proponent of, you know, that whole concept of putting your garden to bed. I'm pretty loosey-goosey on that whole thing, that I think a lot of the things should be left alone and let the birds have the seeds from the flowers and enjoy the winter interest and really take it easy in the fall and then just do a really good big spring cleanup in the spring. But that being said, there is still some stuff to do in the fall. And I know I am a total procrastinator, so I end up waiting. You know, the temperatures this past weekend were lovely. And I thought, well, one, I was trying to get back into this time zone. But two, I'm like, oh, I should go outside and do something in my garden. And then it was like, no, it's so nice. I always end up doing those few little things I want to do when it's cold and rainy and damp. And then I'm kicking myself that I didn't do it on a nicer weekend. So I thought I'll give you some a bit of a list on some things to start. I don't know if most of you have kind of given up on your summer containers. Mine are still surprisingly doing well. But if yours are looking sad and tired, then now is certainly a good time to replace them with some fall mums, some ornamental kale. Just take out one or two things if you've got a mixed container, or just take it all out and put in some fall mums. They'll appreciate the cooler temperatures, which I heard are on the way for the end of the week. So they weren't really good to do too soon. So if you did them a couple weeks ago and they're looking not great and you're thinking it's you, it really has been the heat. They are definitely a fall plant and they do appreciate the cooler temperatures, especially nighttime temperatures. And they don't do well in that hot heat. You can't even keep them moist no matter how much you water them. So if they are not doing well and you're thinking it's you or something you did, but I would just always advise waiting to get them until the temperatures cool down a bit. So that's my tip there as far as fall mums. And the other thing to think about this time of year is, oddly enough, in the fall, is time to think about spring bulbs. So they're starting to just advertise for those. And now is the best time. So look for some pockets in your garden. If you're in Durham region and want some added to your garden, then that's something, you know, drop me a line. I'm looking at adding that service this year.
Very nice.
Doing some bulb planting for my customers. So drop me a line. My website's downtoearth.ca with the number 2. But if you are looking for that in your area, then I'm sure there's different landscapers or landscape designers in your area that would be happy to help you add those to your garden. I prefer daffodils and alliums, mostly because of the squirrels. So I know when I say spring bulbs, most people think tulips, right, Gary? When I said a spring bulb.
That's what I thought of.
Yes, yeah. And it is definitely a spring bulb, but it happens to be like caviar for our dear lovely squirrels here in
they
the GTA.
Them.
So over time they tend to disappear from people's gardens or be replanted in different spots.
I wonder if Holland has that problem.
I don't know that they have squirrels like we do. Yeah. And I know there's products and all these different things that you can do to discourage the squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
But my down-to-earth practical advice is just don't plant tulips and plant the daffodils or the alliums. Alliums are actually flowering onions, and they come in a variety of different sizes and heights and flower heads and shades of color, purples and blues, which is really nice. And because of them being in the onion family, the squirrels don't want any part of them.
Onions that we can eat as well?
They're not edible. They're okay. Ornamental. Yeah. So we plant the bulbs and then they send up a flower spike in the spring.
Yeah.
Not completely different than a tulip flower, but it's still a spring flower. And they tend to be in the purples and blues, which is nice because...
Not those yellows.
Yeah, even though it's yellows. The daffodils are yellow. Tulips don't tend to come purple. But you can do the crocuses, some of the other things. But now is the time to think about it and time to buy it before the varieties run out. I'm also being a procrastinator. We'll go to the store on one of the last good planting weekends to do it and discover that my alliums are all sold out and my daffodils are all the wrong color or whatever. So even if you're not ready to plant them yet, go out and get them so that you have them on hand for that nice warm day to get them in the ground. So that's some of the proactive things we can start doing. The things that we normally do throughout the season is really important to do in the fall too, and this is probably closer to the end of the fall, but making sure anything that's diseased or infected or infested in your garden. If you've got, slugs that have been eating up a certain plant, or aphids eating up a certain plant, you just want to get rid of the debris. Also, if something, this happens often with some of the peony shrubs that obviously aren't blooming throughout the summer. They bloom in the spring, but then the foliage, because you're watering all the plants around the peony, sometimes their foliage tends to get a bit of mildew. As well as some of the nine barks get that white mildew on their foliage. So it's really important that you cut those off and actually dispose of them. They aren't things to be left to kind of lay in your garden. So as much as I said, I like leaving most things alone and just do a spring cleanup in the spring. Some stuff that you want to kind of nip in the bud and you don't want to overwinter in your garden, it's better to get rid of them in the fall. And that way you start with a nice, strong, healthy plant in the spring. And speaking of peonies, they are one of the trickiest plants to relocate or to move if they need to be moved. They don't really particularly like it, and the depth of which you plant them is really important. But if you do that in the fall, water it well until the ground freezes, and then gives them a good head start into the spring when they can start to bloom. So the important thing is that when you take them out, dig them out of their current location, that you plant them, make sure the hole is exactly the same depth that the roots, usually there's a little bit of roots showing or crown of the plant above ground, and that's really important. If you plant them too deep, then they will not bloom. And if you plant them too shallow, especially this time of year with winter around the corner, kind of, you may lose them. So that frost will get them if the roots are too exposed. So it's tricky, but now is the best time. You can't really do it in the spring because you then lose the season of bloom. And in the summer, they also don't transplant so well in the heat. So I think now is a really good time. And you can, if worst case scenario, you can even cut right the foliage right back so it's just inconspicuous in the new spot in your garden. They tend to kind of get, once they get really established, they get bigger than you think they're going to be. I know I've had that problem myself. I've put them at the front in front of something, and then now they get too big that they're hiding something else. So sometimes that there is a need to kind of relocate them in the garden. So if you have that problem, then now is the best time. Also, a lot of people like taking them. They're a long-living plant, and often I hear customers say, you know, I want to transplant it from my mother's garden or from my grandmother's garden to our new home. When's the best time to do that? And again, now is the best time to take, if you're taking on a new peony, it is from someone else, it is a good time. I've had mixed results in actually dividing peonies. I don't know that they, as much as they don't like to be moved, they do not like to be divided. So it's hit or miss there. But if you really want to give it a try, then again, now is the time. So yeah. And we haven't had a frost. They're calling for possibly a light frost at the end of this week. But it is, if you do want to do some more work in your garden during this good weather, it is a great time to divide and move perennials as well. Like the peony, if there's some other perennials you want to move around, or if your hostas have gotten too big and you want to divide them, then now is a really good time. Once the frost hits and the leaves kind of yellow off and they kind of disappear, it's still a good time to divide them. But then I find it's harder to find where they are because they no longer have their leaves on them. So now, while you can still see them, they might be a little bit battered from the summer if they weren't in ideal location. Then now is a good time to kind of divide them or move them to a better location from there. So I know I was at we got back on, well, Friday was the first full day, and I planted some mums in one of the commercial gardens I look after in the city, actually, Gary. And I was noting some of the plants, you know, as much as we were adding annuals to the garden, I was noting that, okay, these hostas are obviously getting too much sun. You know, in the spring, we need to move them. And some other perennials were getting shaded out, so they weren't doing well. So it's now is a really good time to kind of take stock and figure out how you want to tweak things.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm keeping track of the Blue Jays score.
Are you?
I am.
What's the score?
We're up 1-0. Edwin got a home run.
What inning?
Now we're in the second, but it looks like the Orioles got a 3-run home run. So, and we're down. So I guess who knew that if you were tuning in to
it's only the we'll give you the sports. By the way, folks, if you don't mind, we do have a sports show.
That's right,
we do. Tonight, that's on the air about 10:15 to 11:15, Inside Sports with Mickey Zara.
Yeah, that's right.
So he'll give you the recap, hopefully, if the game is over by then. But
it
you never know
be.
With extra innings.
Yes,
you never know.
It should be, but definitely stay tuned or tune back in and listen to Mickey's show for sure. I understand that you didn't tune in tonight to listen to the Jays update, so I'll try to spare you. Unless something really exciting happens, I will keep it to myself. We do have we're still installing gardens. I know people start to think that, October's, you know, September, October, it's too late to do anything. Well, that's simply not true. I've got a customer waiting, I think with today's rain and tomorrow's rain, she got bumped a little bit. A job was supposed to start tomorrow, but looks like Thursday. So I'm just ordering a few things for her to go into the garden. The most important part for her right now is the hardscaping. But she did email me saying, you know, is it still okay to plant trees and shrubs and perennials? And I'm like, absolutely. Now is a great time. They're going to go dormant shortly as long as they have water up until the ground freezing. And really, the ground doesn't freeze usually until Christmas, sometimes after Christmas, right?
True. Sometimes it doesn't freeze.
Yeah. You know, so everything loses their, you know, the plants might lose their leaves and look done, but the ground is still workable. So not that we want to leave it too late, but as long as you get them in the fall, even around Thanksgiving, the third weekend, I think Thanksgiving's a little early this year.
That's the Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Canadian Thanksgiving. But yes, get them in for sure before the American Thanksgiving for all our U.S. listeners. That tends to be later November. So I think you want a good 6 to 8 weeks of good watering and for the plant to get established. Get established a little bit, and then it goes dormant. And there's lots of moisture there for it to draw up slowly while it's dormant. And then they really do hit the ground running in the spring. I find that those plants do much better than the ones in the spring that go through a bit of transplant shock, because we never know what the weather's going to be like, right? Whether it's a cold, wet spring or a sudden, quick, hot spring, and these plants are kind of racing to catch up. So it is still a really good time. I know I mentioned, it seemed like forever ago, my last show on the 7th, but when was my last show? The 14th.
The pre-record.
The one I was here. We talked about looking for holes in the garden now and looking at things that you need to add. And it's still a good time. You probably find, if you wandered around the nurseries, you'd find some summer plants, spring blooming plants that probably nobody's paying any attention to because they're obviously not in bloom. So they're kind of probably back of the bench as opposed to all the fall blooming things are at the front of the bench. But you'll probably find, you know, a lot of the creeping phlox and some of the astilbes, some things that bloom in the spring or early summer, you know, looking fairly beat up and nondescript at your nursery. Now's a great time to pick it up and plant them, you know, in those bare little patches that you have or the areas you're not sure what to do with. And in the spring, you'll be really shocked and surprised that the color is there. So versus going out and racing around in the spring and trying to fill those holes. So now is a really good time to do it. I know it's not the instant gratification of the fall blooming plants, but you can always pick up some of those too. But I think it's more important to kind of really take stock of the garden and look at what areas do you need some color at this time of year versus, you know, if you were taking photos of your garden, you can look back at those photos as well and see. I know I've got tons of hydrangeas, so they're really doing a great job at filling in my gardens. But I do have some other pockets where I need to add some more color. So I'm looking forward to doing that myself this week and getting into the nursery. So water is important. If we're going to have a good rainy fall, then, you know, it's less important. You don't have to get out there and water. But so definitely keep an eye on the rainfall. But it's really important to make sure your newly planted material and your evergreens. So that's one I want to talk about for a bit. So if you've got evergreens, especially if they were planted this year, if they were even planted last year, and if we're talking about cedars, regardless of when they were planted, emerald cedars, really do them good service to make sure they're watered really deeply right until the ground freezes. So sometimes that's, you know, you're out there when it's really cold temperatures and you've got the hose going or you're putting watering cans of water on your newly planted evergreens. But I definitely recommend it. It, like I said, the trees are going to go dormant and as much moisture as possible that is in the ground for those.
That's before the first frost.
Yeah, that's right. Because they're going to lose a lot of moisture through those needles.
Yep.
And so they won't, you know, every year you see it in spring, right? The cedars that are all brown, the yews that are all brown and yellowed or without needles, the shrubs that lose their needles. So we can't completely prevent it if it's going to happen. You know, we have no control over ice storms and things like that that are out of our control. But for sure, to give it a good prep before the first frost, we can, especially if it's a good sized tree that you've, or many trees like a cedar head, you've spent a lot of money on that.
Yep.
You really want to make sure that they are going to make it through their first winter. So that's a really big tip. And I know because people, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, shut off that water outside and put that hose away.
Yeah, they're worried.
And there's no need to do that. No. You know, please leave it out a little bit longer. So I hope those tips were helpful. I've got a few more that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's pause there and for a commercial break. And we will be right back on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
I swear to you, I will always.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift. for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to your host, Joanne.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. I hope you've gotten some tidbits out of some of the plants or some of the suggestions and tips, plant tips I've given you today. I know we were just talking about cedars and we're talking about evergreens and the importance of them having good moisture going into their first or second winter. Something else to consider, I'm really hoping we're not going to have, we've had so much snow the last two winters and ice issues, that type of thing. So I'm really hoping we're having a break this year and we're not going to have that same issue, but it's always better to be prepared. And I'm not a huge fan of wrapping our evergreens with burlap. I just think, you know, why did we plant an evergreen if we're not going to, if we're going to wrap it in burlap?
But there's a whoever coming up, however.
No, there's okay. Another thing to do instead, you know, to still see that greenery. But the issue, the reason people, well, there's a couple reasons you wrap it in burlap. One is to protect it from the wind. And to that one, I say then the plant shouldn't, then the evergreen shouldn't have been planted in such a windy spot.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of
true,
that
huh?
person. And the other one is to protect it from the sun or from the snow and ice, you know, building up on the branches and then,
yeah.
and then they heave. And then even when the snow and ice melt, those branches never go back up and it's never that same shape again. So, still not a fan of the burlap. But something you can do is to wrap the evergreens, especially the cedars, like the emerald cedars that you want to keep in that conical shape, I guess, with fishing line. So
really?
Yeah, it's strong. So it's not like wrapping it in with string, but it's quite strong. But it's also kind of invisible, you know. So you kind of just loosely, sometimes you can do it from the outside, or you can do it on the inside, because I don't know if you noticed on your cedars, sometimes the branches, even though they're growing up, they're growing separately, and they can kind of, you know, you can kind of tie them inside tight to the main trunk, and so that way when it snows, the little branches, you know, it's hard on radio to kind of demonstrate that.
I know, but I'm watching.
Are you watching my hand gestures?
Yeah.
So you can kind of wrap the insides of the cedar hedges so the smaller, thinner branches are kind of tied a little tighter to the main stem, and really helps prevent that from happening, from the snow and ice from pulling that down. So it's still, I think it's still a little early to worry about protecting our emerald cedars in that manner. But again, if it's a nice weekend and you want to get it done, no one's going to see it because it's fishing line, especially if you're doing the inside method. I've written some blog posts about that, so you can check that out on my website at downtoearth.ca in the past, and that way you can see some pictures that'll demonstrate what I'm talking about.
What's the difference between wrapping in burlap, which we're against, sort of, and tree protector. What's the difference?
What do you mean, tree protector?
Well, it says, for instance, here, I have some notes from a lot of the stuff. It says, if you're going to protect trees from mice damage,
okay,
by wrapping tree protector. Now, what is that, a specially brand or type of wrap instead of burlap?
Actually, it's for a deciduous tree instead of an evergreen. Okay. So if you've got a tree that's just a trunk, so now it's... one of the things in the winter, the mice and rabbits especially, if we get a lot of snow cover and there's not a lot of food for them to eat, then they'll start eating the bark
right.
off of the thinner, mostly the thinner trees. So that is that. You probably see it, Gary. They tend to be white, but they're kind of like
right.
that plastic white wrap.
Right, okay, that's right.
And sometimes when you buy a tree, it comes with that wrap.
We've had some of that.
Yeah,
here.
And
yeah.
people forget to take it off.
Okay.
And it's grown. Sometimes you'll find it grown into the tree
yeah.
grows into the wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they don't, and you buy it separately. They're just a couple bucks.
Yeah.
But that's something, especially small, bigger trees that you've purchased or younger flowering trees like ornamentals like hydrangea standards, Rose of Sharon standards. Those are all good things. They have thin bark and a thin trunk, relatively speaking, and a good chance that they wouldn't survive if they got eaten quite a bit by some mice or rabbits over the winter.
Yeah.
So picking up some of those. Yeah, you take them off in the spring and re-put them back on in the fall, and that's a good way to protect the trunk.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people do that with burlap too, right?
Down the trunk. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think it does the same thing because I think they can eat right through that burlap.
That,
yeah. For sure. And we'll talk about this more as October comes on. But the one way I do like using burlap is actually to protect Japanese maples. And it's not how you think. You don't wrap it tightly like you do with our evergreens.
Mm-hmm.
You can either make your own or you can buy a kit at a local nursery or big box store. They should have a kit of usually about 4 wooden stakes and a bit of burlap. And basically you put the stakes around the perimeter of the Japanese maple. And then you wrap the burlap around the stakes. Again, I'm doing the hand signals,
That's
in case
good.
Anybody
no,
was watching.
I'm watching.
Yeah. And because we're not trying to prevent snow or moisture from getting to the Japanese maple, we just want to do a little bit of wind protection, especially in the first couple of seasons. So that's really important. And I'll be talking more about that again, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks on the show.
And again, to stress, folks, if you're doing that, it's not to protect from the snow.
Right.
You want to protect from the wind.
Yeah.
The snow helps to water, right?
Exactly.
Keeps it right.
Exactly. It insulates it. And, of course, our Japanese maples should still be in full leaf right now, so this is certainly not something that you need to do anytime soon. If you're at the nursery and you see the kit I'm talking about, now's a good time to have it on hand. I know I last year I had done it, or I said I'd do it for a couple of my customers, and I picked up the kits and I never did get there and I never did install them. And both of those customers lost their Japanese maples.
Oh.
So I had to, I guaranteed them anyway because they were newly planted. But I could have maybe avoided replacing them if I had gotten my act together in the fall and gotten those kits installed. So that is something to think about.
Important.
For sure, for sure. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, as far as putting your garden to bed, I don't think, as long as there's no diseased or insect damaged things in the garden or moldy things in the garden, I think I say let nature take its course, let everything kind of die slowly when it's going to die, let the birds eat the seeds off of the flowers, off of the ornamental grasses, and leave everything alone, and then we can cut it all back in the spring. So aside from dividing things and moving what you want to move and planting spring bulbs, I think those are my down-to-earth little practical tips for today. What do you think, Gary?
Very nice. And you gave quite a few. And I know folks that are listening welcome you back, and I'm sure at some point in time they want to hear more about your trip.
Yes.
The travel show with Joanne Shaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you notice, besides what you said at the beginning, due to weather between here and Europe where you were, did you notice a lot of totally different landscape type of designs where anything similar to what we would do here to plant and to plan that were the same there, or are they totally different?
Well,
in other words, if you were hired there to do a design, would it be very much different than what you would do here?
Probably. It was hard to say, though, because we didn't really have, aside from seeing public gardens, and I could see what people had on their balconies, or when we were walking on the street, the people at ground level that had courtyards.
Yeah.
I kind of peeked in to what they did, but to actually see actual people who had, you know, maintained, like, you know, and they don't really have that typical front yard, backyard garden that we have.
Yeah, no, I know, they don't,
And even some of the public gardens that we did see, they weren't, they were surprisingly kind of understated and kind of really casual gardens.
Yeah.
So I would say it was hard to compare. Certainly the plants, much more like our house plants, you know, a lot of aloe vera plants, a lot of cactus plants, surprisingly, that we can grow the prickly pear cactus here in Ontario. It's hardy enough for us to grow, and it gives off this little fruit, and it's probably, you know, maybe about a foot in size or less, and it's not really, if somebody has it in their garden, it's not really a huge noticeable thing.
A showpiece, it's not.
That's right. But there, of course, they're, you know, 6 feet tall.
Yeah,
and
I know,
and
right,
the pears
right.
on them look like right. real pears.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the prickly pear cactus. So it's, and same, their aloe vera plants were just magnificent, so...
Wow.
Yeah. And there's this one park where the, like I was mentioning, the hedge was made of bougainvillea, and they had benches in front of the hedge all around the perimeter of this park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they basically had to cut the bougainvillea around the hedge, around the bench.
Right, and they so fit the bench in?
Yeah, because it had grown so much in width
that
it started to take over the bench.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So they had to cut it, you know. So initially you could tell where they put the benches in. The hedge was fairly small and narrow, and now the bench is the hedge. And those two words, hedge and bench.
But they gotta hedge. Look. That's gotta look cool like that, right?
I thought so.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
took
did you take pictures
I
of
did
that?
Take pictures.
I'd
of
have
that.
To see that.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. So yeah. So there's lots of really interesting things to see. We did. I'm trying to think what country. I think it was in France where we were walking through what would be kind of like a little neighborhood, and the gate to their backyard was kind of like up some steps and through a gate,
mm-hmm.
and the gate was open, but we didn't feel like we could go up and in, you know, but we did take a picture
privacy.
Of kind of the entrance type of thing to see what their little hidden gardens are like. So yeah, very, very different for sure. But it was beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, well, I think that is all for today. I'm looking forward to...
A great welcome back show with lots of advice. Because people right now are panicking. They say, okay, it's September.
Yeah.
It's going to be October in a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, let's get... People that don't know any better, let's be honest.
Yeah.
They're on the bandwagon now. We got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. Because the next thing you know, the snow is flying.
Yeah. And even if it's not the snow, it's the kind of cold, crappy weather you don't want to be out there doing anything in.
But
and if I can leave you with one final tip I'm thinking of is, and we've talked about this in previous shows, now it's still important to weed the garden. Get the weeds out. Get those weed seeds out so that they're not going to reappear next year.
Okay.
That's a big tip.
And very good.
And they're not flying over to your neighbors.
Yeah, unless you don't like your neighbors.
Yeah, so I was tempted to pick some of my neighbor's weeds today because I don't want them in my yard. But,
oh, boy.
What can you do? So don't panic. There's still lots of time for sure. And I will definitely walk you through October as we prepare each week for what we can do in the garden. So now focus on the good stuff, on some planting of mums, some planting of bulbs. And moving things around. So,
beautiful.
So thank you. Thank you for joining me tonight.
How about your contact information again? Because this might be the first time someone's on the air listening to you.
For sure. So you can contact me. All my information is on my website at downtoearth.ca with the number 2. My Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it, Twitter, I'm there. Please visit my Facebook page if you want some pictures from my recent trip. Just search in Facebook under downtoearth.ca, or I guess there's no down CA, but Down to Earth Landscaping Design. And like my page and follow me there. And yeah, so I think that's about it for us tonight.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We're
for
glad
listening.
You're back safe and sound.
Yes, back safe and sound, and working on some good shows for October. So stay tuned, and we'll see you here on Reality Radio 101 next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Joanne Shaw and Down the Garden Path, right here on Reality Radio 101.